Have you ever filled out forms? For example, applying for a scholarship or applying for apartments. I've filled in many forms in my life over the past 37 years. And there's often a space for occupation. What would you fill in if there's a form that there's a blank that asks, what's your occupation? From this congregation, I see a lot of students from elementary school, from middle school, from high school, some from college. And I know some are engineers, graduated from college already and working as engineers. And some of us, I know, are working as doctors. And my wife is a pharmacist. And I know there are professors here as well, designers, and small business owners as well. So we all have an occupation. What do you do in school? What's the purpose of going to school?
For a job.
Of a job. You seem to get the purpose of going to school, yes. Going to school for most people is to prepare themselves to get the skills, the knowledge, the education for their future job. I'm not sure what you want to do in the future if you are still a student. Or even if you have a job, you might be thinking about, this is not really the job I want to do for the rest of my life. So what would be the ideal, your future occupation? Let's think about that. But if you really want to get the job you want to do, I think you'll study very hard in school. And not only study hard, you will study very wisely. You use your time very wisely. So if there's an exam tomorrow and you really need to study, probably you should not spend time playing video games or even Wii, as attractive as it might be. As Christians, do you know what's the occupation that God is preparing for each one of us in the future? What is our real occupation that we need to do in the future when Jesus Christ comes back? And we need to do that for a long time to eternity. I think it's kind of important, right? If you don't know what your future job is, how can you be prepared for that? When the job comes, then you don't know how to do it. And God will keep you accountable for not being prepared for that. So it's so important that we know and we work hard and spend our time wisely for our future occupation with Jesus Christ. During the 1,000 years that Jesus Christ will return and will rule on earth, the most peaceful, most wonderful, righteous kingdom we have ever seen in history is when Jesus Christ comes back. It is not the time yet. It is not the time yet. Although some people think this is the time already, but look at the world wars and more wars going on and many bad things happening in this world. This cannot be the time that is prophesied in the Bible. Over the past two Sundays, we have seen the glory of the returning King. Jesus Christ will return again, not as a weak, fragile, rejected, despised baby, or an adult suffering for our sins, but as a glorious, triumphant King to fight against evil, to fight for righteousness. Jesus Christ will return, He will fight, and He will win. And then last Sunday we learned about the triumph of the returning King. After He has come as the glorious King, He will fight the battle and He will definitely win. If you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 19, we started from verse 11 to 16 2 weeks ago, and then we studied Revelation 19 from 16 to 21, from 20 verse 1 to verse 3. And today we will continue with chapter 20 verse 4 to verse 6, just 3 verses. If you missed the past two messages, they are very important. I would say you go to our English ministry website. What's the website address? I think I heard that. It's www.cccbl.blogspot, and then dot com. That's our website. Okay? Because from there you'll learn about the glory of the returning King Jesus Christ. You'll also learn about the triumph of the returning King Jesus Christ. And that will help us to live a triumphant life in year 2009. Nobody wants to lose in 2009, especially spiritually against sin. If you want to win, read the passages before that, and if you have time, listen to the recording, sermon recording, that will help you to understand some of the things you don't understand. But today we'll see the reign with the returning king. What will we be doing when Jesus Christ comes back to rule for 1,000 years? That's what we'll find out today. The first thing that we'll see is that some of us will be judges and officials in Jesus' kingdom. According to verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. These are human judges. These are not thrones, but it indicates authority of being a judge. If you have been speeding and you got caught, you get a speeding ticket, you'll be probably trembling and you're facing the judge because you might get a penalty or there are more severe crimes, then you'll receive even more severe penalty. So while you're still young, watch out for your small mistakes. If you don't watch out for that and you don't try to correct from that, I'm afraid you might become a big criminal in the future. So rely on God to live a life that has power to fight against your weaknesses, against sin. But here, John saw a vision, a new vision. The thrones represent ruling and judging. And those sitting in them are most probably the faithful New Testament saints, as we have already seen from chapter 19, verse 14, and verse 19. These will be the same people that in heaven, the thrones will be like this, and those people who are faithful, believers who are faithful, they would get a crown besides being able to judge and rule with Jesus together. You will see God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, lamps, seven lamps, and the four, these represent Jesus Christ. But this is the glory of God and the faithful saints in heaven. But I believe when Jesus comes back, we'll see a very similar vision. And we have learned previously that Jesus comes back, when Jesus comes back, he will be on the white horse, representing that he will win. But you see, there are people following him, and these will be the faithful New Testament believers. And they are also called the bride of Jesus Christ. People who are believers from the true church now. Okay? And these people, they not only will be on the horses to witness Jesus winning the huge battle against evil, but they will also rule with Jesus together as judges and officials in God's kingdom when Jesus Christ rules. To understand better, who will be on the thrones? I think we should go back in time a little bit. When I started this series, we immediately saw the coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But what happened before that, do you know that? Between now and when Jesus Christ comes back the second time, it will help us to understand more why those people on the thrones are the New Testament believers, faithful New Testament believers. We already know what will happen when Jesus Christ comes back. He will return, fight, and win the battle against evil. But what will happen before that? This seems to be a very complicated chart, but a focus on the center, okay? And the bold types and big nine, okay? This is the timeline showing things that will happen in the end times. Now, after Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, we have the church when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And what will happen after that is that the New Testament believers, they will be resurrected, and then Now, if those New Testament believers at that time, they are still living, they will be caught up in the air to meet with Jesus Christ in the clouds. And they don't even need to go through their physical suffering and death in the future. That's a great gift, grace for people who trust in Jesus Christ now. And this is an image of rapture. Rapture means being caught up in the air to meet with Jesus Christ, who is described as the groom and the church, the bride. And first, those people who were dead, they would be resurrected from the grave. And then those people who are still living, they will also be transformed. They will have a new body, resurrection body that's different from this body, that will get old, that will have wrinkles as time goes on, and that can get sick. But when you get the resurrection body, that according to the Bible is a spiritual body that does not have sin nature, and that will not get old, that will not get sick, and you will not have the experience of pain as we have now, you have the same body that Jesus Christ had after he was resurrected. Don't you want to have this body, especially when you're getting old and you're feeling pain all over your body? I think that's the hope that we have, to have this resurrection body. Not only that, this body is not limited by space. Even if there's a wall, if I have a resurrection body, I can just walk right through it and I will not be hurt. This is the body that we believers of Jesus Christ will have. This is recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 18. If you have time, you can go back home to read it. So what you can do is just write down the verses next to the Bible passage that we're studying. When you go back home, you can study the passages that I've mentioned. Okay? But after that, after the resurrection of the New Testament believers and the rapture of the church, these people who are living, they will have a transformed resurrection body, immediately there will be a judgment of believers. But this is not about going to hell or going to heaven. Because whoever truly trusts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, you can be sure that you can have eternal life by God's grace. It's a gift from God, not that we deserve it. We absolutely don't deserve it. But there will also be judgment of everything that we say, that we think about, and that we do now. And whoever will be judged, they will either get a reward or not get a reward according to the Bible. And these are the Bible verses that mention about the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. God has very specific plans for different people. How would the faithful Christians be rewarded? We have seen those people on the white horses when Jesus Christ comes back to fight the battle against evil. They witness the great triumph. And after that, they will be on the throne to rule with Jesus together. They will be judges in God's kingdom. While the unfaithful ones, they will not be rewarded. Although they will have eternal life, which God will give them because of God's grace and love for them. Not that they deserve it. We absolutely don't deserve it. Just look at ourselves. What we say, what we do. How can we deserve to be with the Holy God? Those who are unfaithful will be like the common citizens in a country. But those who are faithful, they will be like representatives in the House, the senators, the governors. I think the apostles of Jesus Christ will be like those in the cabinet of the president. But we are talking about fair and righteous judges and officials, not those that we see who are corrupt. And Jesus will be the ultimate, most righteous king or president of God's kingdom. Rapture is a great gift. Many people say, you'll see that after the rapture, there will be 7 years of great, great disasters on earth that you have never seen. Biggest disasters. many think that even Christians need to go through that 7 years of big disasters. But if you understand the scripture better and look at more Bible biblical evidences, you'll see that the church is not by God. The church is described as the bride of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. And the tribulation, according to the Old Testament, is for showing wrath, God's anger towards the sinful and stubborn people who are not willing to turn from their sin to God, including the Israelites and those people who are not Israelites, that's us. If we don't repent, we don't trust in Jesus Christ, we'll go through those disasters, and God's wrath will be on us to judge us. I want to show you some mighty scary images.
I'm watching and listening. I shall never watch it.
And these are from Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 18. And that describes the 7 year tribulation in the Bible. The horrible disasters that will happen. Jesus Christ will open a scroll that has seven seals. With each seal, there will be a disaster, including war, hunger, famine, earthquakes. And then at the seventh seal, there will be seven angels with the seven trumpets, and that will introduce another series of even bigger disasters. And then at the seventh trumpet, the seven bowls, the next series of huge disasters will be introduced, and that will be the greatest disasters of all. You don't want to be in that time facing those disasters. But God is gracious, but God is also a judge. He absolutely hates sin. He is holy. At the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ will return as the triumphant King of kings and Lord of lords to fight and win the huge battle. Jesus Christ, we know, will be on the white horse. And then Jesus Christ will rule for 1,000 years. All this will happen specifically as told in the Bible. Do you know, after I've reviewed that with you, what's the next prophecy that will be fulfilled? That is the rapture. And what is interesting about the rapture is that, do you know when rapture will happen? We know the second coming of Jesus Christ, there are many things that will happen before Jesus Christ will come back to fight the battle against all evil, stubborn people. But rapture is a prophecy that's in the Bible. There's nothing that's described what will happen before that. And in other words, rapture can happen any time to us. We use the term imminent rapture. That means it can happen this moment while I'm speaking. We can all be caught up into the air if we're true believers of Jesus Christ. And what would that mean? That would mean that we are not in control of our future while we're planning for our studies, our work, and everything. Tomorrow, you might not be here. And when you see Jesus Christ, you'll be judged. You see, the judgment seat, faith in Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and you'll be judged based on whether you have faithfully lived out the teaching in the Bible as a Christian. You'll either receive a reward, you'll be judges and rulers with Jesus Christ together, or you will not receive that reward. That's a great honor. So, we need to be faithful. We need to be full of faith all the time. Be prepared all the time. Be alert. Because when you least expect it, Jesus Christ will come back. Hold on to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only He can save you from your sins' punishments. Hold on to Jesus to live a holy life. And remember to serve God when you still have the chance. It's a great privilege. You might not have the chance tomorrow. That's why I think it's a good, very good biblical perspective towards life. That is, Live every day as it is the last day of your life, as if you have no tomorrow here on earth, and you will adjust your focus in life differently. Most people, when they die, or they know when they will die, they probably will think about what are the things that really matter to me. If you only have a week to live, what would you do? Would you still be just playing video games all day long? Or would you be doing something different that's really valuable, maybe that you can carry into your life with God? Let us live our lives always bearing in mind the imminent rapture of true believers. While we still have time, let us be faithful. We see that some will be judges, but some would be killed during the 7 years of most horrible, greatest disasters in all history. But those who are faithful during the tribulation, they decide to still believe in Jesus Christ after seeing all these disasters, knowing that the Bible is true, and even if they are persecuted, they continue to say, I still trust in Jesus Christ. Even if you cut off my head, I will still believe in Jesus Christ. These people, they would receive a reward. You see that? And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast, the world dominant world power, the dominant world leader who tries to rule the world. Satan is his force, power behind him, and he will ask people to worship him. Whoever is not willing to worship him will be killed. Their head will be cut off. But the good news is that if these people, if some of us, I hope it will not be any one of us, who decide not to trust in Jesus Christ now to be saved, and then we'll go into the tribulation, great tribulation. Even if you are there, I hope that you will trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior then. And even if you are persecuted, even if you have to face your head being cut off, you still say, I trust in Jesus Christ. Then you still will have a reward. And what would that be? They came tonight and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They will come tonight, they will be resurrected by Jesus Christ, and they will reign with Jesus Christ 1,000 years as well. That will be the reward for these faithful believers during the tribulation. Of course, after they are resurrected, they will also be judged by Jesus Christ to see if they have been faithful. And they will receive different positions from those sitting on the throne. Verse 5 says that the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Although this group will be rewarded, does any one of you here want to be in this group? Anyone? I think nobody wants to be in this group. You face all the huge disasters you have never seen before. You suffer from physical pain because of such disasters. And even if you trust Christ to be saved, you face persecution. You face the persecution to the point that you need to decide whether I will keep my head, but will have no eternal life with God, or I have my head lost, but later on I will have eternal life with God. That's a tough decision to make. If someone immediately has a knife next to you saying that, trust Jesus Christ, your head will be off. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, I'll let you live. What would you choose? It's a hard decision. But even then, I hope you will decide to rather lose your head than lose your soul and your spirit. But it's better to trust Jesus Christ to be saved now. If you still haven't trusted Jesus Christ alone to be saved now, I urge you to do it now. Let me know if you want to know how you can be sure that you can have eternal life with God and you would not need to go through the 7 years of great tribulation. Thirdly, we'll see that, do you know all believers, what's their future job, what's their true job? All believers of Jesus Christ will be priests of God and of Jesus Christ. That's our true occupation. That's our true occupation. Verse 6 says that, Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. They will also reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. All believers would. But the faithful ones will be judges, will be the government officials in Jesus' righteous kingdom. But all believers, they will participate in being priests of God and of Jesus Christ. Do you know what first resurrection means here? First resurrection, say, whoever has part in the first resurrection, they are blessed and they are holy. Can this be the number one resurrection? And then there's no resurrection before that? If you have read your Bible, you know that Jesus Christ is the one who was first resurrected to receive the resurrection body that will not decay. That's spiritual and that's eternal. And after that, we'll see that the New Testament believers, they will be resurrected, will die, but they will be resurrected. So, there's another resurrection before that too. And then, there's the rapture of the church. These living New Testament believers, they will receive a transformed resurrection body as well. Okay, and during the tribulation, we will see that there will be two witnesses to share the gospel, powerful witnesses to share the gospel to those people during the tribulation. And they will be persecuted, they will be killed, but they will also be resurrected. So we already see three groups of people being resurrected before the faithful believers during the tribulation's resurrection. So the first resurrection, it cannot mean that that's the number one, there's no resurrection before that. But here what it means, first is contrasting with the last resurrection, which will be followed by the second death. If you continue to read the same passage, verse 12 to verse 13, it talks about the last resurrection. And that last resurrection are the resurrection of the wicked, and they would receive eternal death, second death, according to verse 6 and verse 14. So this first means before. Any resurrection that's before the last resurrection, that's the so-called first resurrection. But why is the first resurrection necessary? Why do we need to have a resurrection body? Why? Have you thought about that? Again, we go back to the Bible to answer this question. If you have the Bible, you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58. It will explain, why do we need to have a resurrection body? Why is the first resurrection necessary? And why is it so important that we have this hope of our future resurrection? If you have your Bible, you can just read while I'm reading it. Verse 50, he says that, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Here, again, it's talking about rapture. Another passage that talks about rapture. In the flesh, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Actually, verse 50 already explains. It's because that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. To be able to live in heaven, holy, heaven, we got together, we have to have this spiritual body in order to be able to live with God there. Although God already will not judge our sins, but our body, present body, is not suitable for living in heaven with the holy eternal God. That's why we need to have this resurrection body. If we can have this hope of our resurrection body, what does it mean to us? Verse 58 of the same passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says that, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, stand firm. Considering the fact you will be resurrected, you will receive a spiritual resurrection body suitable for living a holy life. If that's what God's plan for you, then you need to stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, and you are preparing yourself for your future occupation with God in that 1,000 years to eternity." Let me ask you, do you think you'll be in the first resurrection? Can you show some response? If you think you'll be in the first resurrection, put up your hand. I believe I'll be in the first resurrection.
I don't know.
You don't know? Continue to study God's word, pray to God, and if I have a chance, I'll explain to you that you can be sure that you can be in the first resurrection as well, based on the promise of God, not based on my emotions, what I think, based on what God says, and whether I'm willing to receive God's gifts, grace of eternal life, as a result I'll be able to be part of the first resurrection. You are really blessed if you can be part of the first resurrection. If you are in the next resurrection, I would be very sad for you. So now we know what will be our future job. What would that be? We'll be priests of God and of Jesus Christ. We will be worshippers. We will be the ones who would help those people in the 1,000 years. Remember, during the tribulation, faithful believers, they were caught, persecuted, and beheaded. Of course, they'll die, they'll be resurrected. But they were also believers, they were not caught, they were able to hide. And they will, when Jesus Christ comes back and establish his 1,000 years of kingdom, they will continue to live on. They will have the natural body. And God will not resurrect them yet because they have not died. And rapture has already passed. And they have to go through the physical death. And they will get married still in the millennium. It's a peaceful kingdom, but people can still get married, those people with natural bodies, including those Israelites who survived the Great Tribulation. And they believe they have the natural body, they have not died yet and not resurrected. So they will get married and they will have kids. But the kids have to also make a personal choice whether to trust in Jesus Christ or not. Those who are believers, these would also, after their death, they will be resurrected. So there also will be people who, after they are born, they are not certain how can they go to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. So if we participate in the first resurrection, we'll be priests of God and of Jesus Christ. We will be the one to share the gospel with these people. These people might have already seen the peaceful kingdom, but in their heart, they might still have a tendency to rebel against God. That's why we need to share with them the grace of God even during that period of time. So we'll be priests to bring people to God. We are already resurrected. We are already God's people. We also help those people to worship God after they have believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's why it's necessary to have that 1,000 years for us to be priests of God and of Jesus Christ. It is also necessary to have that 1,000 years to fulfill the covenants, the promises God had made for Abraham and David and other covenants. Some of the promises are not fulfilled yet. For example, to Abraham, he said, "You will have the land, promised land, and your descendants will be like the sands on earth." That you have a huge number of descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. We don't see that yet. Chinese people have like more people in number than Israelites now. That's the time for order of God's promises to his chosen people to be fulfilled. That's why it is also necessary to have the 1,000 years. Next time I ask you a question, I say I'll answer that later. Today I'll not have a chance to answer why Jesus Christ, God, through an angel, imprisoned Satan for this 1,000 years and then later released him. That we will explain next time. You really want to know that, but come back next Sunday. And because we study that passage, I think it's better for me to explain that when I explain that passage to you. But this year, while you're trying to fulfill your responsibilities as a student, different professionals, remind yourself and examine your life to make sure that other occupations are just side jobs, to prepare you to do your real job, your future job with Jesus Christ, to be priest of God and of Jesus Christ. Maybe you should print out Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, and then put that on your desk. It will remind you that blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Of course, there will be new heaven and new earth. You'll continue to worship God. So we're first priests of God and Jesus Christ, and we are first of all worshipers of God. Never stop worshiping God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Without your word, how can we know ourselves, that our true self, how filthy we are as sinners? In our sinfulness, we often are blind about our sins. But God, through your word, you convict us. Through your word, you have also given us hope in a suffering world. You have specific plans for your people, different people groups from different races. You have the most wonderful plan for them. And we are blessed because we are part of your church. If we truly trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't need to go through the great tribulation. We will experience the grace of not even need to go through the physical death if Jesus Christ comes back and will be caught in the air right now. What a wonderful hope that we have. But that also means that we are not in control of our future. We don't know if we have tomorrow. I pray that you imprint this perspective in our brain, in our mind, in our heart, that every day we live as if it is the last day of our life for God. Let us be faithful. Let us serve God and help others to know Jesus Christ when we still have the chance. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.